323-0663, Sharon Heath and Tim Heath, appellants versus the City of Naperville, appellee.
Very well, Mr. Heath, if you're ready, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. This matter is before the court because the trial court erred in granting summary judgment to the defendant. The underlying facts of this case are essential to the judgment, to the determination of whether the trial court's judgment should be overturned. Here, the defendant has no evidence to suggest that there was no defect in the sidewalk at 1787 Villanova Drive on May 24th of 2020. Defendant has no evidence that Sharon did not trip on that defective sidewalk on May 24th, which resulted in her falling and breaking her wrist, amongst other injuries. Here, the defendant's own employee testified that the defect in the sidewalk was 2 inches or more 9 months after Sharon's fall. Further, plaintiffs also have evidence, which the defendant does not contest, that shows that at the time of the occurrence and shortly thereafter, that the defect in the sidewalk was 2 inches or more. The record also shows that the defect in the sidewalk had not changed in 9 months between the time of the fall and the time that the defendant's employee, Mr. Marino, measured it. Also, Mr. Marino, who has for years done sidewalk examinations for the defendant for the purpose of determining whether the sidewalks are defective, determined that the cause of the defect in this case was where Sharon fell, was due to the root of the tree that was adjacent to the sidewalk, and that root had been growing over time. Thus, all of the evidence shows that the sidewalk defect did not grow or decrease depending upon the weather. Further, because the cause of the defect was the growth of the underlying tree root, the sidewalk defect was not something that just suddenly occurred all at once. In addition, to Mr. Marino's testimony, plaintiffs also had evidence from Timothy, Sharon, and Liam, along with the Google photographs, showing the defect, that the defect had been present for a number of years, going back at least to 2012. The legal standard for what constitutes constructive notice is that the defect has to have been present for a sufficient length of time that the public authorities, by the exercise of reasonable care and diligence, might have known of such a condition. There's
Mr.
case
Heath, law. Mr. Yeah. Heath, even if there's evidence that the city employees may have driven past and the defect and collected leaves, et cetera, at Villanova, do you concede that there's no evidence that a city sidewalk and roadway project inspector was in the vicinity of the property from the time it was resurfaced in 2009 until May of 2020?
In answer to your question is no, I don't concede that, and for a number of different reasons. One, first, it's not a matter of whether the city inspector of engineer knows of the defect, because the city is in a corporation, any of its employees who's within their duties to have knowledge of such things, their knowledge is imputed to the city. That's the Camden case. And in this particular case, there is a city ordinance that says it is the duty of the field employees to recognize that there are defects in the pedestrian walkway. Okay, so
do
there's
you have any concrete evidence, sir, that a city employee became cognizant of the defect in that same period from 2009 to 2020?
Okay, and the answer to that question, Judge, is that when you say concrete evidence, I do not have a direct statement in testimony. There is, however, circumstantial evidence that they would have seen it. And now we're in a situation where would the employees, if we talk about a traffic accident case, a person runs a stop sign and they say, well, I didn't see the oncoming traffic. But we know that they had the case law, Illinois law, for a long time has said you cannot look and not see something that's clearly present. In this particular situation, we know, and one of the things that the courts will look at is how conspicuous the particular defect is and for how long it's been there. In this particular case, it's clearly conspicuous. It can be seen on photographs taken from the street. So we have that. We have photograph testimony of Miss Bischel, who is the owner of the property of the house that's where the sidewalk is located, and she said she could clearly see the defect despite the shade and in the photographs. Mr. Marino, who is the city inspector, who came out 9 months later and found and determined that the sidewalk was defective at that point in time. He testified that, yes, you could see the defect even in the shade. So this is clearly conspicuous thing that has been there since 2012. Now, you asked another part of your question was, your original question, and I'm afraid now I've lost track of that. One part was it was a city inspector. It isn't required to be a city inspector, but we do have evidence that there were numerous city employees that were coming by that within feet of that defect on a regular basis every single year between 2012 and 2020. So as a consequence, we have circumstantial evidence that would support a finding that they had actual notice. Now, is that evidence sufficient for us to get summary judgment on that issue? No, that's a fact for the jury to decide. By the same token, because of that circumstantial evidence, the trial court erred when it determined on it as a matter of law that there is no actual notice. And that's because with actual notice, there are two potential elements for establishing actual notice. One is, was there a report to the authority? And I will agree, there isn't evidence of a report to the authority. But number two is that an employee had actual knowledge of the defect. And in this particular case, the circumstantial evidence would suggest that yes, one of those many employees had actually observed the defect. And the fact that nothing happened because of that employee doing it simply means that the city's procedures failed to act as they were supposed to act. That's not a basis for determining that there's no actual notice. But besides actual notice, there is constructive notice, which is another basis for which the court could find notice as allowed under the Tort Immunity Act. And with respect to constructive notice, the key elements are going to be the length of time that the object was there or the defect was there and the conspicuity of that particular defect. Now, there
is can I ask a constructive notice question? The fact that Naperville apparently had let's just call it an inspection system, for lack of a different term, under a 3-102B program, if that program covers the sidewalk in question, doesn't that preclude us from finding constructive notice?
One of the elements of that inspection system, and I'll put that in quotation marks, is that it has to be one reasonably likely to find the potential unsafe defect, given the cost and practicality of the situation. And the fact of the matter is, first, we have the situation here where the judge did not decide the issue of whether their affirmative defense of the inspection system meant that they were not liable. That is an affirmative defense. That is not part of the plaintiff's case. They have the burden of carrying that affirmative defense. And in this situation, not only did the judge not find that that affirmative defense applied, but in addition, as pointed out in my brief, the fact of the matter is that they didn't have a reasonable inspection system. The fact of the matter is that they have a couple programs that may provide some inspection of the area, but it wasn't one that would in any way reasonably find potential defects, as demonstrated by the fact that Timothy's deposition and Timothy's affidavit showed photographs of other defects that are in the immediate area of his house. And they did, those were there for years and have never been found either. So this isn't a situation where their program was operational and it just missed one specific spot. The fact of the matter is that there's a number, quite a number of spots around the that area that they have also haven't found. And the reason being is because the system that they have, and I'll put that in quotation mark, system, is not really an adequate one to find the potential defects. Council in their brief did provide some simple math, is the way it was described. And they talked about how many sidewalk squares there are in Naperville. And they quoted a figure of like 900,000. The reality is that you doesn't matter how many times you divide a single thing up into smaller pieces, you still have the one piece. So you can divide an hour into 3,600 seconds. The fact of the matter is you're still dealing with an hour. When you look at Mr. Marino's testimony, as I pointed out in the reply brief, the 20% of their time, of five people's time, is spent inspecting sidewalks. And the reality is with 900 miles of sidewalks in Naperville to be inspected, they could easily inspect every one of those 900 miles within about 4.5 months of the year, of every single year. And the reality is that they don't. The reality is that their inspection system, and I'll put that in quotation marks again, doesn't have records of anyone actually doing anything. It doesn't have records showing that they actually have a system when the road is being resurfaced that the inspection be performed. There's nothing that says that, they don't have any documents even saying that one should be done. And I would point out that this case, Mr. Nichols testified he doesn't have any documentation. The reason why he doesn't have any documentation is because that if there's no defect, if nothing, no work is going to be corrected, then therefore they don't keep any records of it. Yet in the Ori versus City of Naperville case, what was involved in that case? In that case, there was an inspector that went out and inspected that sidewalk. Now, he didn't remember the inspection. Instead, the city used a document that was created the day after the inspection to show that he had actually gone out into that and inspected the very area where the plaintiff had fallen. And further, they said that inspection noted specifically that there wasn't anything there that required any maintenance to be done, anything to be improved or changed. So they relied on that in order to be able to say that there was no defect, despite the Google photographs that were trying to be offered into evidence to show that a defect was there. So as a consequence, we know from that case that Naperville does keep records of their inspections, and yet they don't have any records in this particular case. So
Mr. Heath, citizens are permitted to file complaints or give notice of specific defects, are they not?
Yes, Your Honor. Timothy Heath actually testified about that in his deposition.
So they are permitted to do that at any time, correct?
That is correct, Judge.
Okay, thank you.
But that is not a system of inspection. That is merely an ad hoc series of calls, and all the city of Naperville does in response to those calls is go to that specific location and look at that specific spot. So unless you have someone who's looking at all of the spots throughout the city at all the sidewalks, then you're not going to have a system that actually inspects all of the spots within the city. The fact of the matter is that the sidewalk and curb maintenance program isn't a system of inspection at all. It is merely the city going out to deal with potential calls. I would also point out that as part of that system, it says that the homeowner is responsible for repairing the sidewalk or responsible for any liability as a result of of someone being injured on the sidewalk. That is directly contrary to Illinois law, and it's the Burks versus Grilla case, which says that the homeowner is not responsible for maintaining the sidewalk in front of their house. That's the city's property. They're responsible.
So Mr. Heath,
yes.
is the reasonableness of the system of inspection a question of fact for the fact finder, or the fact that there exists a system in an ordinance, is that standing by itself enough to disprove, for example, constructive possession? I mean, how does that get figured out, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Okay, well, that's actually a good question, Your Honor. And basically what I would say is that there is two parts of it involved. First, you have to have a decision that perhaps something can be constitute a system of inspection. That would be, in theory, a legal determination. If plaintiff had brought in a motion for summary judgment saying that they don't have a reasonable system of inspection, then it would be first up to the trial court to decide whether, as a matter of law, that whatever they're saying they're doing constitutes a system of inspection. Now, once it's decided legally that what they're doing could be considered a reasonable inspection, or an inspection system, I should say, then it's up to the finder of fact to determine whether, under the law, that was reasonably adequate to be able to find potential defects given the practicalities and costs that are involved. And that's really what it comes down to, is that's a separate whole analysis, but that has to be done by the finder of fact, not by the court. So as a consequence, I would respectfully—
I'm
out of time.
We are going to come back to you for your reply, Mr. Heath. Thank you very much. Any questions from Justice Peterson or Justice Davenport?
Nothing further at this time.
All right, Mr. Heath, we'll come back to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Toberman.
Thank you. Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Kristen Toberman. I represent the city of Naperville. The trial court correctly granted motion for summary judgment in this case, and the court correctly granted it because in a sidewalk case, the city has to have actual or constructive notice of a defect prior to liability attaching. There is really no dispute that there was no actual notice in this case because nothing had been reported to the city before. The city knew of no one else prior to the plaintiff who had been injured. And so therefore there was no actual notice. There was no, and I want to actually, I do want to talk about why people, employees driving down the street, doing other city tasks in work vehicles could not be considered actual notice as well. And that's for several reasons. One is the situations mentioned by the plaintiff in their brief were brush pickup, leaf pickup, those are done by contractors. Those are done in the vehicle itself, right? Tree trimming, there was no evidence. I mean, there was tree trimming 7 years prior to the incident, but it could have been more. So that's putting it back to like 2012 or 13. There's been no testimony of any City of Naperville employee that got out of a truck and was standing on the sidewalk, was standing on the parkway, was doing anything that was remotely close to the sidewalk where they would have been in a position to see it. The city—
Ms. Toberman, what is a field operations employee? What is that? Because that's what's defined within the city, that the city code states that every field operation employee has a duty to report a dangerous condition. I'm asking, what is a field operations employee?
I think the personnel from the city who have the duty to inspect the sidewalks, who have their job is specifically tasked to inspect the sidewalks with their attention looking at the sidewalks, are the team of inspectors in the TED department, which is the Transportation Engineering and Development Department. Now, I at the top of my head, I can't tell you when that section of ordinance was put in that used that language, field operation employee. But I can tell you that the people specifically tasked with going out, getting boots on the ground, looking at sidewalks, measuring differentials, are the team of city inspectors in the TED department. And they are the ones that do it both when we resurface roads and also when we receive any kind of complaints or concerns from residents. They are the group that go out there and do that. Anyone else mentioned in this case at all, whether it's doing the leaf pickup, the brush pickup, there's just been no evidence that anyone was outside of a moving truck doing anything which puts them in a position to actually see that sidewalk. What the plaintiff wants you to do is really kind of set a precedent that a municipal employee in a municipal truck driving down a road is going to have knowledge of all the conditions of the sidewalks. And that, I think, it puts a tremendous burden on every municipality in the state. And that's something that, the Tort Immunity Act is really to protect the burden on the taxpayers. And that such a precedent would be detrimental to everyone in the state. We do not believe there was actual notice from any city employee. We don't believe there was any constructive notice from any city employee. As far as constructive notice, the court looks at conspicuousness, and both the plaintiffs testified that this defect was under a dark shadow. It was camouflaged. There was shading, making it difficult to see. So based upon the plaintiff's own testimony, this defect was not conspicuous. It was hidden.
What about Liam's affidavit? I just want to ask about that because Judge McJoint characterizes as doesn't decide it on credibility. He just basically determines it as speculation. But when I read the affidavit, and I realize there's a suggestion that it was bolstered after the Ori decision. I mean, all of those types of arguments to my mind just go to credibility, which isn't the point of a summary judgment motion. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at an affidavit where the affiant says, look, I rode my bike here in 2012, I was there in 2018, and both times I noticed that the depression was more than an inch. If we take that as true, isn't there an argument that this was constructively known by the city because it was an obvious defect?
Right. Well, unfortunately, you can't take it as true because as the plaintiff points out in their brief in response to the city's argument about the affidavit is that if an affidavit is inherently improbable, if it's contradictory to the laws of nature or universal human experience. And the problem here is that universal human experience tells us that our memory does not get better as time goes past, right?
Well, was Liam really asked that level of specificity from the city of Naperville? I mean, he wasn't asked by Naperville, how many inches do you believe the difference was between the two slabs? He wasn't asked that specific question, was he?
He was not asked that specific question, but the word specific was in the question posed to him. And it was, what do you specifically remember about this defect? And what he responded to that was that he remembered riding his bike over it on his way to elementary school, and that he avoided that area. He avoided that whole part of the sidewalk. And that was his specific recollection. And so when when 6 months later, there is an affidavit that a 25-year-old gentleman now states that when 11 years prior, when he was 14, he now remembers in apparently a neighborhood full of many sidewalk defects, as counsel has pointed out, he remembers this one specific defect that he avoided being an inch or greater. That is, I believe, so highly suspect, so contradictory, honestly, to I'm sorry, was someone okay?
I was gonna say, it sounds like real good fodder for a heck of a cross examination.
Well, I you know, hopefully, Judge, that you know, we're not going to get to that point, but because I think the affidavit really goes beyond, and you know, it's just not only is not credible, but it is beyond not credible. So it's the point that I think the words used by Judge McJoint, where it was chock full of conjecture, that's kind of what he used. So.
Ms. Toberman, let me ask you this. Is the city challenging the admissibility of the Google photographs?
No, they did get the proper authentication from Google to use the photographs. So
go ahead. And isn't that, but just so we're clear, as I understand it, so if the photographs come in, they can show that there was a defect, you could see something, but not as to whether it was 2 inches or not at any specific time.
Correct.
But it does establish the timeline, at least the number of years where at least it was noticeable to a camera.
Right. Absolutely. And that is really the inherent problem you have with Google Images. And that's kind of where this court first kind of laid the footprints down the path of how we use Google Images in sidewalk cases, because all the images show is a less than perfect sidewalk, or maybe a sidewalk where the squares aren't flush. But let's not forget, the law in Illinois is that the city doesn't have a duty to maintain perfect sidewalks. We don't have to have completely flat and flush sidewalks at all times, because for us, if a sidewalk is de minimis, it's not actionable. And we know that the case law in Illinois states that—
Well, you agree that at the time your engineer measured the difference in the two slabs, it was not de minimis.
I 100% agree with you, Judge.
And the probable explanation for the difference, according to the engineer, was tree roots. And I mean, I'm not an environmental scientist, but we all know tree roots don't grow in a day. So it wouldn't be unreasonable to presume that this defect did persist for, I mean, I don't want to put a time frame on it, but not a small period of time.
I would agree that if it's based on tree roots, then it's not going to be something that happens overnight, like you can get with the freeze thaw cycle. But the problem here is when you have Google Images and they show a sidewalk that's not perfect, and we don't have a duty to maintain a perfect sidewalk, what is the point where that sidewalk is actionable and the city needs to do something with it, right? That's what's missing in this. And
unless you accept Williams.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why his affidavit came in right after the Ori decision, when this court said, you know, in Ori, the, you know, the court
Ori
said—
Ori dealt more with the issue of measurements, though, right? That were not going to be viewable on a Google photograph.
Well, actually, Your Honor, the court said that plaintiff presented no evidence establishing how large the gap was at any given time, or when the gap exceeded 1 inch, making it subject to repair or replacement under the city's program. So the court basically said, hey, listen, even if we considered the Google photographs, even if they were admissible, there's no way to determine the measurement about that. And I would like to point out that the case in Ori was it really was involving a sidewalk over a bridge, and that inspection that the inspector did, that was a bridge inspector, that was a specific engineer. He is not one of the squad of people who go out daily to look at sidewalks. He specifically, in doing his inspection of the top of the bridge and under the bridge and everything else, looked at the sidewalks overall and said, you know, I'm not noticing anything. And he was familiar with our criteria, our repair and replacement criteria. So that the fact that we had a document on that, that's something completely different. The documentation we need for bridge inspections for the state of Illinois is completely different. So it's kind of a different situation.
Can you address the role of the 3102B program as it relates to our constructive notice analysis, if any?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really interesting that there are no cases out there on what a proper sidewalk inspection program is. So what the city does, and our deputy city engineer was deposed and said that, you know, she believes we have a very good, robust program. We inspect when we resurface roads, we walk every single sidewalk along both sides of the road. We also do a lot of inspecting when people contact us, and we are specifically putting information out there, letting our residents know, hey, contact us. If you want us to inspect, contact us on our website, through social media and things like that. That program is getting a lot of callers. I think hundreds, I can't remember what the exact number is in her deposition, but it's getting a tremendous amount of callers.
Ms. Toberman, excuse me, but would you agree that whether that system is reasonably adequate is more of a question of fact?
A question of fact for a jury to decide? No, I would not agree with that. I would not. I think that's an issue for a court to determine that level for that. And honestly, I think it would be wonderful to have some guidance in the state about what a reasonable inspection system is. Because, and I also want to mention what happens, you know, when we go out there and inspect, it's not just walk down the sidewalk and note each sidewalk and square, and if there's a differential. When they find a differential, they spray paint over it, letting people know that the sidewalk square has a differential. Then they call Department of Public Works, who does a ramp, who puts an asphalt ramp in, eliminating that differential. Then it goes on a master list of all of the sidewalks that are going to be repaired the following year. So then another person is compiling a master list. Then they have to get a contractor who goes out and does all the repairs all summer long. And then they have to go back out and inspect after that. So it's not just one person going out and inspecting. It involves a lot of time from multiple different people within the city. So I see my time is up.
Justice Peterson or Justice Davenport, any additional questions?
I do not.
Thank you, Ms. Toberman. Mr. Heath, your volume's off, and you may reply.
Sorry. Okay. Really quickly, the first comment was about the fact that their employees were just driving down the street and they were just in a vehicle. And the reality is if you look at those deposition transcripts, you'll see that in fact, they can't rake the leaves into piles and rake them off the parkways if they're still in vehicles. The spring pickup is not just in vehicles. It's people going out and picking up things along the way. There's numerous things. They also put stripes on in the area right by the Davenport or Villanova Drive, right across the parkway from where the defect was at. They've resurfaced, they corrected defects in the road years between 2012 and 2020. So clearly, as shown in the pictures, so clearly they weren't just driving by, as been suggested. Further, there's no evidence whatsoever to say that someone driving at 25 miles an hour or less wouldn't be able to see this particular defect from the street. That's just something that they're making up.
Sharon in her deposition said she couldn't see it walking right over it.
And the reason why she couldn't see it that particular day at that particular time is because where the sun was located in the spring of 2020 and the trees, leaves on the trees. If you go, there are other pictures of taken at different times where you can clearly see it from that distance as you're approaching it. Because why? Because the sun and the shade isn't covering it and camouflaging it in the same way. So there are periods of time and periods of time of the year where the camouflage effect would take place. But the evidence at trial or in the depositions and stuff also establishes that there are other times when that's not true. Okay, where it's clearly visible and conspicuous from the parkway, which is a completely different perspective than what Sharon had when she was walking at the time of the collision or time of the occurrence. Council asked, well, Well, if they have to follow the, she said there was, at what point does the city have to intervene? Well, if there is a defect, a potential defect there, the first thing the city has to do is just go out and look. And that's what their curb maintenance program is. Their sidewalk and curb maintenance. It's simply going out and taking a look to see whether, in fact, it meets the criteria. She suggests that it's, that our employees can't possibly be trained about those potential defects, yet they have a website which tells you exactly what they look like. These are not difficult things to pick out. You can see that whether there's a difference of approximately an inch between sidewalk slabs. You can see where there's been the part of the sidewalk has been fallen off and corroded so that there's a large hole there. So this is not something difficult to do. It's just a matter of getting it done. And the reality is the testimony is that none of the supervisors were training any of their employees on this. The other thing is, the question was asked about who is a city a field operations employee, and council tried to limit it to certain individuals. And the reality is that the regulation or the ordinance has two sentences. One under paragraph two there. One is the city sidewalk and roadway project inspectors and engineers shall be trained to recognize unreasonably dangerous conditions in the public sidewalks along the public path of a pedestrian travel. So that's the first sentence. And that limits it to roadway project inspectors and engineers. But then it says, it shall be the duty of every field operations employee becoming cognizant of unreasonably dangerous conditions. So that's not those people that she just mentioned. That's everybody that's out in the field. As a result, I believe that under the circumstance of this case and the evidence of this case, I believe that the trial court erred in granting summary judgment. Trial court's the idea of Liam, who is trained as an engineer and who was learning to be in taking the classes to be able in high school to be able to become an engineer at the time that we're talking about, would certainly be competent to testify to those things at trial. So as a consequence, the summary judgment should be reversed and the case should be remanded for trial. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Justice Peterson or Justice Davenport?
Nothing.
All right, we thank both sides for spirited arguments. We will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision in due course.